Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
It's a tremendous job by the Eagles on a lot of fronts. Let's listen to Darius Slay talking about the end of the game. It was nerve-wracking, and Slay played a great game. Obviously, he got beat, a little bit beat, on what turned into close to a 40-yard pass near the end of the game that got the Rams deeper into Eagles territory. But for the most part, Slay was great. End of the game, nerve-wracking. Here's Darius Slay talking about the end.
When that final pass fell incomplete, I mean, threw your way, what went through your mind?
I say staff know me better than that. You know what I'm saying? Staff, you know doggone well now. I done been in a lot of positions, and we've been in a lot of wars together, and you know, I know what kind of staff like to try, the guys. So, I'm like, staff know better. You should have known. You should have went somewhere else with it. I know you started successful early. I mean, late. And then you're like, oh, let me go try this again. Nah, that ain't going to work again, nah, staff. Nah. You got to look. You got to look, though.
You got you on the sideline earlier, though.
Huh? That was a good ass ball. I'm saying, like, that's what I said. Like, he know go make a play. He got a Puka, great catch, great throw. You know, that's how you got to beat a good corner. You know what I'm saying? Because what's beat good coverage? A great throw. And you know, only but Stafford, them type of guys, they can make that type of throw.
All right, Darius Slay, entertaining as always. James, I need that na-na-na-na-na-na on my drop board.
Yeah.
When a caller makes a point and I'm going to na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. That was a good one. All right, let's go to Tom in Abington. Yo, Tom.
Yo, gang. How we doing this morning?
Psyched.
Doing great, Tom.
Very psyched, Tom.
Yes. So I told you guys the Lions and the rest of that division were frauds.
You know, I don't think they were. I think the Lions defense never really recovered from those injuries.
Well, for whatever the reason, Joe. Okay. I knew they were going down. Yeah. So this sets up our home game coming up. This is fantastic. If I were to give out game balls, I'd give it to Jalen Carter for Saquon second. But then you got Brayden Mann right behind him.
Dude, I mean, he's in my top five or six.
It's unbelievable.
Those holds, the holds and the punts were both great.
Yeah, and then I got Jalen.
I don't know how great the holds were.
Dude, they were a little outside, man. That was outside.
Both of them were outside. The fact that he wrangled them?
I don't know.
Wrangled is a good word,
right?
That's
Rhea. What he did.
We're still missing extra points.
But it's certainly not his fault.
He still made two big kicks in that game.
Look, maybe Lovato's got to snap it a little better. I'm not saying that's not impossible to consider. But
They were not easy snaps for him to get.
But the ones that he grabbed and put down were the ones that Jake Elliott made.
Mm.
So,
fourth game ball for me is Jalen Hurts just for the run that he had with that first score. But I got to tell you guys, if I had a blame ball for this and he almost cost us the game, that'd be Kellen Moron. What is he doing calling these pass plays that take forever to develop?
Moron.
See, Tom, I don't think they take forever to develop. I think Hurts holds the ball. It makes it look like it takes forever to develop.
Nah, you saw them guys running like down the field trying to get open. The problem was
with the lack of footing at times, it was just a half, like a beat longer, and that's
like,
part of why it didn't work.
The situation,
right.
The passing game was
not there yesterday,
and every time we ran the ball or had a screen or a little dump off, they were the plays that
well,
were
hold on.
The timing
so here's
was
where,
effective.
Tom, here's where I disagree with you. Good chunk of the second and third quarter. Saquon wasn't going anywhere. Portion of the game, he couldn't get. I mean, it was kind of like Derrick Henry yesterday. There were stretches where he couldn't
Saquon,
go anywhere.
If you keep pounding the rock with Saquon, eventually, as he
Look,
showed, he's going to bust one off.
Tom, I agree with that, but I'll just say this. He had 26 carries. I mean, do you want him to have 35? I mean, I'm calling on Leon Saquon.
I wanted him to have 34, one last in the final drive when they're trying to run out the clock, and instead Hurts takes a 12-yard sack.
Well, here's what I'll say in their defense, and Tom, good call, buddy. Here's what I'll say in their defense on that call, which is second down. If you track this year, when the Eagles are doing the 4-minute drive or the 2-minute drive to try to ice the game, they throw on second down
a lot. But it's about Jalen's leg. Like, he couldn't roll out effectively.
I understand.
That was the issue. And then he couldn't plant and throw. Because AJ was open. Like, it was not a horrible play call if Jalen's healthy. It's just he couldn't execute it.
That's reasonable. That's fair. Let's go to Joe in Mayfair. Joe, good morning.
Hey, good morning. I am very happy, but I'm with Tom, guys. The Kellen Moron in the second half with these five-step drops after the shotgun, calling these plays 20, 30 yards downfield. But I got to tell you, you know, Mahomes throws for 177 yards. He's a hero in Kansas City. Josh Allen throws for a buck 27. He's a hero in Buffalo. Our guy hits AJ on a dime on the shoulder. He drops it in the first quarter. Devontae Smith on a 35-yard seam pass gets hit in the helmet on a dime. He drops the ball. First quarter, AJ slant 15 yards down the field, drops the ball.
Totally.
Elite. Yeah, back.
I agree. I wouldn't call Devontae's a drop. I mean, he got crushed.
It's not his fault, but it wasn't.
Jalen played
separated from the ball.
Jalen played better than some people are alluding to.
You know, Goddard's touchdown pass, Lane Johnson at Becton, illegal man downfield on a perfect screen setup. You know, the mental mistake, Jalen in positions to take a sack. The sacks were horrible. Becton had a horrible pass blocking game yesterday. Absolutely horrible. He was getting pancaked yesterday.
Well, the one time he got crushed, he might not have had footing. But Joe, I will say this, and I hope you agree with this.
Yep.
Jalen's got to do a better job just throwing the ball away.
I agree with that.
Okay.
And he used to always roll out to the right to throw the ball away.
That's
but
right.
For some reason, he's not rolling to the right.
Well, post-injury, he was affected.
But I'll tell you, Joe, but the fans and the media criticized him every, you know, five times a game he would roll out to the right to throw the ball away.
I remember.
But if you're Kellen Moron, and I love that name, and you know your quarterback's struggling, the AJ slant, you can't stop at 1-on-1.
Yeah, here's my argument against that, Joe. And you know I've been saying this for a couple of years now. I think the quick passing game is what Jalen is worst at. So I know people say, well, just get the ball out quick. It's not something he does.
His completion percentage is 77% when he gets rid of the ball in less than 3 seconds. It's not that.
Well, Hold on one second. Here's what I'll say. I believe you. I don't know that fact to be true, but I'll take you at your word. I would think a lot of that, because I don't think they do it often, is probably those bubble screen to wide receivers, which of course are going to be a high percentage completion. I mean, you know, of course they're going to be a high percentage completion.
But a lot of his throws are outside the numbers and outside, and he's just putting the ball
up. But not normally in the category Joe just said, which is the first couple seconds.
Well, no, he hits AJ 7 out of 10 times on a slant pattern, at least when it's the 1-on-1 slant. But I got a question for you guys. Why doesn't Kellen Moore's offense, why don't we believe in yak yardage? Like, you got weapons when you get the ball in their hands, they make people miss. Saquon makes people miss. Kenny Gainwell makes people miss. Devontae makes people miss. Why don't we ever
All right, this is going to sound like a, okay, I'm going to give you an answer. Joe, this is going to sound like a pile on Jalen, and I don't mean it as such, who I think did a better job yesterday than a lot of people are giving him credit for. I really do. One, because he did a lot of good things that people dropped the ball, and two, because it was a John Wayne performance. He came back in that game when, if it's a regular season game, he shouldn't be in there. All right, so two different elements. But I will say this, not to pile on, but just to give you my honest opinion. I think Jalen likes to see it open before often throwing the ball. Like, see it open. And because of that, I think he waits that extra second or so that leads to, by the time
it's part of what's given him so much success.
High completion percentage, but
scrambling, buying that time. It's impossible to keep guys covered downfield for that long.
He's not,
so they play into it and say, "Hey, we can use this to our advantage."
Well,
here's
what I'm getting at. He's not hit you in stride, guy, timing wise, as good as some others, and I think that limits the yak yards. I think that's a reasonable way to put it. All right, let's get to something else here. Sirianni talked about the snow. Because obviously it was a massive factor in the game. And I thought the Rams did worse with it. But, I mean, James, it did lead to that, like, anything can happen thing.
Totally. No, yeah.
You know,
I mean,
like,
the ball was sliding around. Like, there were, like four or five balls that were dropped that their own team recovered, too. It could have been more.
Yeah, it could have been. I mean, it was going every which way, but look,
honestly, the field looked slick from the jump, even before the big snow came
Rogers
in, the
slipped.
Sleet,
yeah.
Whatever. It looked just tough from the jump.
No question. Let's listen to Nick Sirianni talking about the Eagles. Obviously, he had to coach a snow game. They had to play in a snow game. Here's what Sirianni said.
How much did the conditions affect the way you coach?
It affects it, especially as that as the field continues to gather snow. I think, it neutralizes things that, it has an effect on the game. And we were able to protect the ball, and we were able to force some turnovers, in the midst of it. We had some great individual efforts. Of course that plays a part of it, but everything plays a part of it, right? That's why we take advantage of when we can go outside, and be out there in the elements, and, because every little thing matters. And the conditions got sloppy today, and we all had to play in it, and we found a way.
Yeah, they sure did. Seth Joyner joins us in half hour. Also, the Merrill Montage held sound yesterday. We'll get to that coming up shortly.
His point is incredible, and it's really positive the way he continues to take those guys outside. Andy Reid didn't do that. Andy Reid, we would be inside in the indoor facility on the turf, the pro turf, when the weather got cold. I love the fact that these guys are practicing out there in the stadium that they will be playing in.
Think he's going to do it this week with as cold as it's going to be?
I think he will. Yeah, I think they have to play in that. Why not practice in it? I think it makes a difference. And it certainly helped against the Rams.
Well, Belichick would do it. I remember he used to do it.
Yeah. Belichick does all the little things like that. But I was really surprised that the Rams were able to account for the weather as well as they did. They were a lot tougher in the elements for a West Coast team than I ever could have imagined.
Well, I agree with that. I'll tell you, I thought either McVay or their special teams coach, whoever you want to put it on, had a tactical mistake. I'm just going to give you one mistake in the game. Something like this one little thing could turn a game. They had a punt in the fourth quarter, the Rams did. And the punter punted it basically just about out of bounds. Cooper DeJean caught it like one step before stepping out of bounds. If I'm the Rams are down at that point. If I'm McVay, I'm grabbing my punter and say, punt it straight at Cooper DeJean. There is a better chance than a normal game that he will muff it. Like, there weren't many minutes left in the game. To me, that's one where Belichick would say, I'm going to make that guy catch it.
I don't know.
I'm going to make him catch it.
There are a lot of special teams coaches who never want their punter to even kick the ball inbound.
I know, but they need it.
Say, never
they needed,
let them catch it.
They needed something.
Kick it out of. Why would you kick it inbounds?
Because he might muff it.
Okay, and if you kick it out of bounds, he's got no chance of returning it at all.
And he's got no chance of muffing it. There's no chance of a turnover.
Yeah, well, it's not a good chance to bank on the muff.
I'm just telling you, there weren't many minutes left in their season, and their season ended. Let's get to Reese right now. Reese, good morning.
Hey, how you doing?
Well, excited as hell, my man. This is awesome.
First time, long time.
Nice.
Thank you.
Just wanted to say that, wow, what a game.
Yeah.
What an experience to be down there. Amazing time.
So tell us what that was like, Reese. Give us the in-the-stands, feel of what was transpiring.
The electricity on that field was just, in the stands was just amazing.
Were you as afraid as DeCamera was, Reese?
Yeah, you know what? There's one thing I do agree with him is with Elliot. And just the way he's been kicking lately is just nerve-wracking.
He has no faith in his own ability to make any kick.
No matter how far,
how close, it's just, man, it got so away from him. This season, his confidence, it is not there.
It's not there. And how it just almost feels deflating once he misses that kick. And, they go down and score, and he misses a kick, and it just feels awfully deflating at that
moment. It's almost like, what did you expect? We've watched Jake Elliott continue to struggle. Like, here we are. We're past the point of no return.
And here's where it's getting more confusing. It's the short ones now. Like, he actually had good kickoffs yesterday. His kickoffs, he boomed them, halfway through the end zone, touchback, a lot of touchbacks. So it wasn't like a leg strength issue. I agree with you, John. I think it's in the head issue. I mean, I don't know how, and I know the last one was in the snow. I get that, but
and
my
it does
God.
Make it harder.
All right, Reese, thanks, buddy.
It makes it a lot harder to go out there when you have no confidence and you have to kick in the snow and inclemency. That was brutal.
And look, he made some big field goals, but I mean, missing two extra points. Come on, James.
It's unacceptable.
James, what do you got in there?
Yeah, some good news. Ian Rappaport tweeting out the Eagles had a couple of key players banged up, but it appears Jalen Hurts and Quinyon Mitchell did not suffer major injuries.
Good.
So no further on it, but at least according to Ian Rappaport, early returns looking good.
John, would Ian Rappaport, if it's an MCL sprain, would he term that a major injury, or do you think he's saying he did not have an ACL tear?
Well, I think he's saying for sure there's no ACL.
For sure, but would he say...
I think it's possible that there's an MCL if it's just a, you know, a grade one tweak.
See,
but,
that's
but what... I still think it's... It's likely if he had an MCL, that would be included in this injury.
Maybe.
Report.
There's a nebulous
because
element
that
there.
Is,
would that be counted
that
as
is
major?
An injury.
Yeah,
that
but would
keeps
that,
people out.
But would it be major? I don't know.
I think
Seltzer gut feeling.
Depending
would
on the
he
severity.
Say he avoided a major injury if he has an MCL sprain?
Maybe. Yeah. I think avoid major injury for Rappaport means he's likely to play this week. And whatever else right. that is could
I
be
think,
anything.
My point is I think MCL sprain might still be on the table.
I agree.
Yeah.
I'm saying I think it absolutely could be.
Yeah. Which is a
he
shame.
He held the outside of his knee when it happened, and that mechanism of injury doesn't make much sense for an MCL sprain because his leg, instead of being extended or hit from the outside, which is what that's how you get the inside of your knee stretched or that ligament torn,
yep.
hitting from the outside, his leg was just collapsing, rather than extending, it was flexing.
And there was a lot going on. Both knees were vulnerable.
Yeah.
The ankle was a little vulnerable, and I thought his groin was vulnerable. I mean, he was getting kind of split there. Like,
he
there
just
was,
got rolled
there was a lot going
in a
on
bad
there.
Way. And I've been in that position where your legs like collapse like that, smush yep. like that, and it feels like there's just nowhere else for them to go. And it feels like the back of your knee can be affected. Mine was when my legs went like that, the
wow.
back. And there's something in the back, like the popliteal, like whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
That can be a problem that doesn't prevent you from playing, where it just feels tight and weird. That's what happened for me.
It will be a shame if he can't run as much. I would think he yeah. probably won't run as much in 6 days, but we'll see. It's possible
that he's okay to run. It's possible that he will be hampered.
Yeah.
The brace itself, we know that can hamper you just alone. Just having a brace yeah. under those pants
well, that's right.
it makes it really hard to bend your leg.
Yeah. All right, let's listen to how it sounded here on WIP yesterday. An all-time victory by the Eagles. Survive in advance, to say the least. Merrill Montage. Let's crank it up.
We're gonna need a montage. Ooh, it takes a montage.
Welcome to the final game of the divisional round of the NFC playoffs. To the victor comes a spot in the NFC Championship game against
yes.
Washington. The loser can only focus on next year. Second down and 4 at the Rams 45-yard line. Hurts, looks, fakes, keeps it at the 40, at the 35, 30, 25, 20. Jalen Hurts, touchdown! 45 yards. Here's the extra point. Spotted, kicked up, and no good. No good. A missed extra point by Jake Elliott. Back goes Stafford. He fires, and it is complete for a touchdown to Higbee. And now the Rams can take the lead with the extra point. And the gun, Hurts, gives off to Barkley. He's got a first down and more. 50, 40, 30, 20, 10, 5, touchdown! Saquon Barkley!
He did it
62
again.
62 yards!
He did it again, Mel Reese.
44-yarder for the lead. Snap, placed, kick away, and the kick is good! Jake gets them the lead. A line drive. Hurts drops. Hurts looks. He starts to run, and he's pulled down at the 30-yard line. He doesn't get far. McCullough dragged him down.
Very slow getting up, Jalen Hurts, and he gets up with a little bit of a limp. Fortunately, Jalen Hurts comes out of that medical tent, and now he's jogging onto the field.
The ball at the 7-yard line. Hurts again in the gun. Does he come back to Barkley again? He doesn't. He backpedals. He steps up. He looks. He is tackled. It's a safety. The 6th sack. Oh, that's the worst thing that could happen. Stafford. This time he gives it off to Williams, who fumbles the football, goes down, and it's picked up by the Eagles. There's the big turnover of the game. Rodgers picks it up. Rodgers picks it up and takes it down to the 8. Back to Stafford. He looks up. He's being chased. He has the ball knocked out of his hands. Eagles have it.
Yep.
Second turnover.
Yep.
Knocked out of his hands. And coming up with it, Nolan Smith made the hit. And Zach Bourne recovered. This is about a 37-yard attempt to give the Eagles a 7-point lead. Spotted, kicked up, and it is
got it.
Good. He's got it again. Jake may have missed the first extra point, but he has connected with three clutch field goals. Hurts in the gun on first down. He goes to Barkley. He breaks a tackle. He's on his way.
Uh-oh.
Here he goes. He's at the 40, 30, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown! Saquon Barkley, 78 yards. That'll lock it up.
Boy, he is a special football player.
It's not over yet, but the Eagles are at a two-touchdown lead. Firing again, this time the cup inside the five. And they're rolling. Stafford stamps his foot. He's back. He's looking. He fires. And it is caught for a touchdown by Kobe Parkinson. Well, this is a little more serious than I expected. Stafford, he backpedals. He looks up. He's going deep down the far side of the field. And is it caught?
It is caught.
It is caught by Nacua down to the 20. Oh, my goodness. Stafford in the gun. 6 for 15 on third down. Back again. They got him. They sack him. It's Carter, Jalen Carter.
Can't block him. Then he gets himself a Matthew Stafford.
It's 4th and 11. If the Eagles stop them right here, if they keep them shy of a first down, they win the game. He's in the gun. Motion to the near side. Stafford back. He's looking. He puts it in the air, and it's incomplete. It's incomplete. The Eagles take over on downs. And now they are heading for the NFC Championship game.
Well, a thrilling victory by the Eagles. It was a high wire act, to say the least. Great job by the Birds. Great job by Joe Wechter putting that together. That takes some time to tell the story of a game in just a couple minutes. He certainly did there. You know, those last two plays, I mean, other than the kneel downs, the Jalen Carter third downer, if you haven't, when he sacked Stafford, if you haven't seen it, there was a Rams tight end wide open. Wide open. Because an Eagles linebacker had, I forget which one of the players on the Eagles slipped. The tight end was wide open. And if Stafford had just had a moment to breathe, he probably would have hit that guy. He might have scored. So that was massive. And then on the fourth down play, obviously it was fairly well covered by the Eagles defensive back. But there was an opening to hit that receiver. There was an opening. And Stafford did not have time to step into it. And the ball sailed out of bounds. I mean, Jalen Carter may have saved the season. And, of course, he had the forced fumble on Kyren Williams, where when he did it, you know, I think there was a lot of people that thought, all right, if Eagles just go in here for a touchdown now, the game's probably
that's what I thought.
Almost
that's
over.
That's what I was
right?
Like, yeah, and then they did nothing,
yeah.
Right?
So they had a field goal.
Field goal, yeah.
So, you know, all right. Spectacular. And by the way, better job by Jalen Carter, John. Then, how about Mark Andrews?
Oh my God, dude.
I feel terrible.
Can you imagine waking up today?
This offseason.
I mean, that's just a disaster.
I
can imagine you're so driven for the offseason program.
You're driven all you want, but
lifting,
not today.
And everything else.
Yeah, today, you know, a whole city is just.
Because it wasn't just the drop at the end, it was the fumble earlier.
It was both. He had the two biggest bad plays for the Ravens in the game.
If you know NFL history, deep NFL history in the 70s, it was a Jackie Smith moment.
Dude, I thought of Jackie Smith.
Jackie Smith was an easier catch.
Yes.
Because Mark Andrews is moving to his right. He's got to kind of turn back around. It's not the easiest catch, but obviously he should have gotten it. And we would have had probably overtime. And anyway, now, and I'll say something else. James, some of you agree with this. The other three games over the weekend, all three went the way we should want them to go from an Eagles standpoint. Let me make the argument again. Tell me if you agree with this. Houston wasn't getting to the Super Bowl. I don't care what anybody says. They weren't getting there. I think KC winning is good for the Eagles because I thought Baltimore and Buffalo were the two best teams, and it makes it harder for one of them, in this case, Buffalo, to get there because they got to go at KC. Do you buy that theory?
Sure. I can get down with that. Yeah.
And Buffalo-Baltimore, what'd you think of it, Rhea?
I think if the Eagles do get to the Super Bowl, I like the matchup with Buffalo better than I would like a matchup with Kansas City. Kansas City just, they have that, you know, that mystique about them now. And I think that like plays into people's heads, just like the Patriots did.
They find ways. The Eagles and KC are similar.
They are.
They both find ways to win ugly.
They do.
Yeah.
They do. I would rather play the Buffalo Bills.
Man, I'm torn on this one. John, who would you rather play?
The Chiefs. They're much worse this year. The Bills are a much better team.
There is the referee factor, though, which big can't time. Be discounted.
And there's the been there, done that factor.
There is that.
I mean, the Andy off a bye, like all these. There are so many things where I agree.
Right.
I
would are just not.
I just don't
as
think
good.
It's as obvious. I think I would probably rather play the Chiefs, but like it's like razor thin for me either
I'm
way.
Mostly where you are, James, but I don't know. That's we'll say we'll probably put that into a poll question later this week. Who would you rather? Anyway, all right, 215.
Let's get there first.
I hear you.
How about that?
And that Jaden Daniels guy, holy mackerel.
Oh, my God.
Holy mackerel.
So he may already be the fifth best quarterback in football. I think there's a top four. I think it's pretty clear, whatever order you want to put them, Mahomes, Burrow, Lamar, and Josh Allen. I think pretty clearly the top four.
I agree with that, yeah.
Like, I think pretty much everybody in America would say those four are the best four in whatever order. Jaden Daniels might be number five already. He's really, really, really good.
By the way, Jaws has nailed it. You meant on two of the quarterbacks, yeah. James, you mentioned earlier. When he said that Jane Dad, you know, the best
yeah.
And he also said that Jordan Love was overrated, which we were all shocked
and
at.
And he said in, like, November, I don't trust Sam Darnold in a big spot.
Yep, he did say that.
He's now.
He might know what he's talking about.
I know. Jaws on the program with us tomorrow, 7:25. Reminder, Nick Sirianni tomorrow, right around this time. Well, we think. I mean, we haven't confirmed it yet. But basically every Tuesday, 8:40, Sirianni. So our expectation, Nick Sirianni tomorrow at this time. Seth Joyner joins us coming up in about 10 minutes. Let's get to Rob right now in South Jersey. Good morning, Rob.
Joe, what's up, man?
Quite a bit, my man. Quite a bit.
Yo, I'm not going to lie. We've been through a lot of these Phillies, Eagles,
yeah.
Flyers back in the day a little bit. My heart yesterday, man. I'm still recovering.
It was a tough one. I know what you mean. It was gut-wrenching, basically, for all 3 hours.
It was excruciating.
It was excruciating. It was. It really was.
I personally was very happy that they won because when Saquon scored that second touchdown to go up 28-15, I ran outside in front of my house and did a snow angel, and then they almost lost. And I was like, oh, my God, I jinxed them.
Yeah, the problem is Jake Elliott did a snow angel at the same moment, and, he missed the kick.
He missed another extra point.
Yeah, it's two.
There's so many points to talk about. Obviously, I've got a few seconds here. But I want to talk about Jalen. I really think – I'm with you, Joe. I think people are giving him crap. I don't think he was that bad yesterday. Obviously, Sands, the holding on to the ball, taking the sack. His throws to Devonta on the penalty and the one to AJ were absolute dimes. There was also a play that I thought was
good. Yeah, Devonta was the long one I was referencing earlier. That was the one where he got crushed, right?
There was also a 3rd and 12 in his own end zone where he threw a screen to Barkley.
That was great.
Down.
Yep.
I just think his poise was good. I'm going to throw out the second half just because the conditions were bad, but I'm a little worried about his knee. One other point I want to throw out, and I'm not taking anything away from the kid. Jaden Daniels got, and he's great. I'm not taking anything away from the kid. He went down to Tampa in warm weather. They scored 23 points. They went into a dome, and they smoked a battered defense.
Yeah.
Coming to Philly in cold weather, he's an LSU kid.
That's fair.
Against this defense, it's not going to be as easy for him.
Well, look, that's fair. Here's the one thing I'll say, and this is a really weird comparison. It's 20 years ago in a different sport. What he's doing reminds me a little bit right now of what Josh Beckett did when he led the Marlins to a World Series.
Oh, sure.
Every once in a while, a young guy is just like way
ahead of
schedule.
Levon Hernandez did it for the Marlins, too.
Levon Hernandez, yeah.
You know, 6 years prior to that.
Yeah, and look, Tim Duncan won a title in his second year. And so sometimes you're just – but I hear you, Rob. That's a reasonable point. He hasn't played in the conditions or against the type of defense he'll face Sunday with the Eagles. And obviously part of it is – now, by the way –
against it twice. And, he
beat him once. And, yeah. by the way, Washington has an extra day, which is, not ideal, but it is what it is. But we should just point that out. Extra day for them to prepare. But they got to prepare for Jalen Carter. Let's listen to Nick Sirianni talking about Jalen Carter. Massive, massive, massive impact yesterday by Jalen Carter.
He's a special player. Jalen Carter is a special player, and he's just done so many of the right things to continue to make himself a special player. Can't say enough about Vic and the job that he does of putting him in position to succeed. Clint Hurt, man, Clint Hurt is a special coach that has helped Jalen, and then all the credit goes to Jalen, who's continued to get better. Jalen's consistently done the right things in and out of the building, from his conditioning to his weight to his style of play, and Jalen Carter. Man, he's special.
Can you imagine the contract Jalen Carter is going to get in a couple years? He has a chance in a couple years to be the highest paid defensive player in football. He's got a shot.
55, 60.
Per?
Yeah. Think
oh
about
my
no,
God.
No, no. Only quarterbacks get that. Everything. Like 30 to 40 per, I
no,
think.
No, more
yeah.
than that. I think John's a little high. I think you're a little low. John's right. Money is going to go up. Money's going to go up.
70, 75.
Could it be 4 years, $200 million maybe? He's going to get paid a lot of money. All right, Seth.
He changes games, and he gets sacks. So when you get sacks, you get paid.
Justin Jefferson, $35 million a year is the most a non-quarterback makes right now.
Yeah, but a great defensive player, I think, is more important.
Well, we're talking in 5 years, right? Yeah.
No, we're talking in a couple years.
We're talking in 1 or 2 years. So he's eligible.
So maybe $40 million.
He's eligible next year, but because he's a rookie 5-year deal, maybe they wait till after his fourth year, which would be 2 years from now.
I think he's going to be okay.
I think so, too. Seth Joyner joins us in studio next. Seth, fielding your phone calls.